pastors are anointed with terrible jokes. Terrible jokes. Let me tell you one. I told this to Pastor Tim and Pastor Tim this morning. So I got them together because I know they enjoy this. I heard this from another minister, but I loved it. These two men died and went to heaven. One was a pilot, and he was dressed in a flashy silk shirt and gold chains and slick back hair, and he just was very flashy. And so he was standing before St. Peter, and St. Peter said, "What's your name?" And he gave him his name, and he says, "Okay, let me look in the book." And so as he's looking in the book, he says, "Oh, yes, I see you right here. Here is this robe," and it was a beautiful silk robe and a golden staff. And he gave it to him and said, "Come on in, you know, and go to this room, get changed. Changed and you're set." And so this pastor was the next person to go in. He's excited because if this pilot got that, what is his outfit going to look like? And so he gets up and St. Peter says, "What's your name?" And he tells him his name. He says, "My name is Pastor so-and-so." And he looks up and says, "Oh yeah, you're in here." And then he gives him an old cotton robe and a wooden staff. And he says, wait, hold on a minute. Why did the pilot get, you know, a fancy silk robe and a golden staff, and I have a cotton robe and a wood staff?" He said, "Oh," St. Peter said, "well, we pay up here or give out of results." See, every time he would fly, his people would pray. And every time you preached, people would sleep. So they pay on results. So I'm believing that you're going to stay awake this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe in you. All right. There are going to be greater works that we are going to do, greater in number, and I even believe greater in greater in touching the amount of people. There was a limited amount of people that Jesus was able to speak to at one time. We are at a time in an age where we can reach out and touch so many more people with mass crusades, with internet, with television, with everything. Everything at our disposal, we have the ability to get more people saved in one day than ever before. More than our grandfathers and their grandfathers and our great-great-grandfathers. This is a point in history that we are able to do more than any other generation. This is your time to shine. Now, last week I wanted to touch on some things. I started talking about no sweat. And so now Adam, he had a job to do. He always had work. I've heard people, pastors say, if Adam wouldn't have sinned, we wouldn't have to work like we do. Bull bahonky, you had to work. Yeah, there was a job. His job was to tend the garden. Now what changed? The sweat of your brow. Could you imagine working without sweating? How nice that would be. And I find that the older I'm getting, the more I sweat. I am the only one that has noticed that change. Because now I used to have to work hard and then I would sweat. Now I walk outside and just the temperature change, sweat begins to form. God said there was a point when man would work that the anointing, the blessing of God on our lives, we could do that work without sweating, without toiling. And the work would do what it set to accomplish. It wasn't, you know, we didn't have the success rate, let's say it that way. The success rate was through the roof. We didn't have to worry about certain things like we do today or what we get caught in today. And last week we said, according to 1 Corinthians 1:18, we said that the things of God are foolish to the things of man. And can I tell you something? They're not foolish to you. Because you don't have the mind of the world. You have the mind of Christ. You've renewed your mind. So God will tell you something that will blow the world out of the water. Their mind will go tilt, 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 and yours says, that's the answer. For you, the world, they hear about praying in the Holy Spirit, and they're here like, you are crazy. You are out of your mind. And my answer is always, yes, I lost my mind a long time ago, and I gained the mind of Christ. I begin to think like he thinks. You know, the Old Testament, which we'll probably get into, calls the things of God a mystery. But God has said, I don't hide anything from my people. If you're not his people, it is a mystery. But if you are his people, it is revealed. Because our spirits are alive to the Spirit of God. What are you this flesh and bones? No, flesh and bones shall return to what it was created out of, the dust and dirt. This body will return to what it was created from. This earth suit will die. Have you ever had a suit or a shirt or something that began to fall apart out of old age? A couple. Some of you are not old enough to have things that would fall apart out of old age. But some of us have things. I have a hat. That I love. My hat, Jesse's thrown it away once. I have gotten it out of the trash and asked, why was this in the trash? And because it's ripped and because it is dirty. And then I'm like, no, I've had this hat since I was whatever age, 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere up in between there. The point is I've lived with the hat longer than I lived without the hat. And I used that hat. When I first got it, it was red like this. Now it's a deep wine color. It's deep wine, and it's got sweat rings, and it's got tears in it on the bill of the hat. Now it's in style. They come pre-tour. Mine come from just because it's old. It was in style. My hat was in style before that was style. And when it goes out of style, I'll still have it, and it will still be a good hat. And that's the hat I cut grass with. That's the hat that I change the oil in the car with. That's the hat that I do all the dirty work with. I like that hat. That hat's with me. And so what's the point of me bringing up the hat? I don't know. No. But when in our lives, right, there is with God on the inside of us that we are anointed by the Creator. When we get to a place like that, it will seem foolish to other people. But to us, it makes sense because we're not thinking like the world thinks. We're not operating like the world operates. Stuff will disintegrate and go away like this flesh. But we are a spirit being. Notice that when God, whatever God created, he pulled it out of something, and that something sustained it. Like when this flesh, he made it out of the dirt. The dirt feeds all the animals. We eat all those tasty animals. Someone told me, you know, about vegans not eating meat. And their statement was, if God didn't want us to eat animals, they shouldn't have been made out of food. Some of you will get that later. And so in all of this, what sustained it is what it was made out of. The dirt of the field is where things begin to grow. We begin to eat, and then our food eats that food, and we get to eat it. It's fantastic. I like the way it works. But the thing is that our natural body was made out of dirt and it will return to dirt. But who we truly are is made out of spirit. And where we draw the nutrients, where we draw the ability for our spirit to stay strong and prosper and live well, comes from tapping in to what we were created from, a spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, they are what charges us, keeps our spirit strong, is when we tap into that. The Word is, Jesus was the Word made flesh. And so that Word is powerful. That Word reaches out through the natural and into the spirit realm. That is what will keep us sharp. That is what will keep us nourished. And that is what will keep us on top. That is what will help us to be able to walk in faith and overcome any adversity that comes our way. I am believing God that this church, every person in here that is changed changing their life to be a greater disciple of Jesus Christ will only live in victory. And if it looks like victory is not going to be theirs, they will not succumb to the wilds of the enemy. The old hocus pocus, the mirror look one way with sleight of hand. If you look like you are not going to come out in victory, it's the enemy trying to get your attention off of the fact that you are anointed. Oh, what did we say about anointed? Anointing is, by definition, the removal of anxiety, grief, burdens, and the destroying of bondages and oppressions and yokes. So this is why you, the devil doesn't want you, the defeated one doesn't want you to acknowledge and focus on the anointing, and every one of you are anointed. Look at your neighbor and say, I am anointed. See, in the Old Testament, God would anoint a person. In the New Testament, God has anointed every person. You are anointed. You have a mark by God. You have a destiny that is on your life. And when we make much of the anointing, when we give focus to the anointing, God will give us the answers that we need in our lives. See, this is it. And so many times, look, when I say that, I don't want you to get the mentality that God's going to wave some magic wand and all of a sudden you're going to be able, say, hey, here I am. Now everything is good and you can do the impossible. Can I tell you something? You can do the impossible right now. You're not waiting on God. Jesus died on the cross. He anointed you. Now it's time to walk in the anointed. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs should be following you now. Not when Jesus shows up in your bedroom as a light. Not when God speaks out loud to you. Not when you feel this unction by the Holy Spirit. Love all of those things to operate in your life. But you should be able to recognize you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you don't do this on your own, but you do this by the anointing, the mark of God on your life. And you can carry these things out. Oh, let's look at some scriptures. I know you're just chomping at the bits and ready to get. Well, let's just look. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. And then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 14. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. We've already talked about it a little bit, but verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened thy voice unto thy wife and hast eaten of that tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou eat bread. In other words, substance is going to cause you to work. Substance is going to cause you to sweat. It's not going to be as easy as it used to be. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Let's turn quickly. I feel like I'm 100 mile an hour here, but I have a lot to say, and I don't want to keep you long. Matthew 14, and we're going to look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out of fear. Isn't it interesting? I love how the men of God all of a sudden reverted back to hocus pocus. Reverted back to, because I'm sure when they were healing the sick and doing certain miracles and around Jesus, there was some boldness that came over them. You know, they're serving the Creator. They're serving the Savior. And then all of a sudden, the Savior's not around. And something's walking on water. And they freak out and say, it's a spirit. Now, it was a spirit. It was the spirit. God is a spirit. All right. Anyway, I could make a lot of points right there. But this is what interests me. Let's just say this too. I remember the story. Now, true story. Someone said that they went to a fast food restaurant and they said, when I walked in, I just felt an evil spirit. I felt an evil spirit. I said, oh, you did? Well, what did you do? Well, I left there and I went to another one. I'm like, let me tell you something. No devil in hell is going to get in between me and my hamburger or my chicken. Because we know it was not at Chick-fil-A. They wouldn't even have been allowed to enter. Because that's God's chicken. So we know it wasn't there. We know it wasn't there. So wherever they went, can I tell you something? When I walk into a place, all of hell takes notice. Why? Not because of who I am. Not because of where I was born, the title I have. They take notice because God lives on the inside of me. And when I speak, I believe with everything in me. When the least among us uses the name of Jesus, every demon in hell, every demon that is in a room listens and pays attention, wondering if they're going to command them to leave. Sickness pays attention when you say the name of Jesus. Are they about to talk to me? Financial lack takes notice. Any discrimination takes notice. Because what does God say? No army, no power, no weapon shall prosper. That lets me no army can stand between me and my God. And the Old Testament, we have signs of the prophet that armies came against them. Wasn't even going to hurt the man. He just didn't like the way it looked. Called fire down from heaven. This happens more than once. And finally they come to him and say, hey, before you say anything, don't hurt us. The king would just like to talk to you. Huh. If we could just have that. And it's not something we need to strive to obtain, but you need to understand and recognize that God is with us. Mm. Where did I tell y'all to go? Oh, we're still reading. Basically, Jesus was walking on water. And what I want to point out to you is Jesus did the impossible. Jesus constantly did what was impossible for the world to do. Constantly did it. And here he's walking on water, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter, love Peter. Peter gets knocked all the time. I love Peter. And you know who made fun of Peter? All the ones that stayed in the boat. I bet they mocked him over lunch. Peter, you got out of the boat and started to sink, didn't you, Peter? Yeah, but he walked. He walked for a little bit. He got out of the water. He began to keep his eyes on the anointed one. He began to keep his eyes on the one that gave him the ability to step out on the water. What happened to Peter is when he looked at other things and became scared of it more than the anointing that was on his life. Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on water. The rest of them, I think that is the people who made fun of Peter and knocked him. And we've been knocking him for 2,000 years. I think it's a lot of people who tried to walk on water. Let's be honest. How many of people in this place have tried to walk on water? Thank you. The rest of you are liars. I'm just kidding. I tried to walk on water several times in my bathtub. And one time I slipped. And I brought the curtain and the bar and everything down with me. Made a huge mess. And my father came running. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. What was that noise? I fell. What were you doing? Nothing. Nothing, Dad. He's like, no, you tell me what you. Like, I tried to walk on water. And then he laughed hysterically. And then later he told me that he tried it as well and did not make it. But can I tell you something? I have walked on water. It was frozen, but I walked on it. Here in Wisconsin, walked on water, getting closer, more like Jesus than ever before. Let's turn to Matthew 1 chapter over, 15. I've got a couple more scriptures I want to read to you. Matthew 15 and 29. And Jesus departed from hence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountains and sat down there. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, and maimed. Now, what was maimed? Maimed basically just means missing something, whether internal organ, external arm, whatever it was. Missing something. They were maimed. And others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. And so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus healed everyone that was set down at his feet. The maimed. So this is letting us know, wasn't a headache. Nothing wrong with God healing headaches. If you've ever had migraines and God heals you of a migraine, you know that's a big deal. But there are some things that you get healed of that nobody can really tell. And there's other things that you can not deny. Somebody who's been in the town, who can't talk, everybody knows they can't talk, all of a sudden come out talking. You can't deny that. Or if somebody got into a farming accident, injuries them, missing an arm, toe, limb, leg, whatever, and all of a sudden it grows back, you can't deny that. People get to see it. I remember one time in one of my meetings, I was down in South America, and we were having a meeting, and I just remember saying, God's going to heal someone in this place right now. And then people just begin to shout and praise God, and I just thought, you know, they're excited people. What I did not know is that somebody that was drug in, that could not walk, just as soon as he heard that, got up and walked. And I had no idea it happened. So that tells you how anointed, you know, how much it depended upon me to operate. All of a sudden gets up. And so the interpreter, I mean, they're shouting and somebody wants to talk. And there's nothing more annoying than you trying to preach and somebody trying to get the mic from you. That's annoying. And so then my interpreter, I'm trying to ignore them, and my interpreter tells me, he came in and he couldn't walk. His friends drug him here. And he would like to testify. And I'm thinking to myself, this is just me having, you know, a conversation with the Lord. I mean, God, you do something like that, you don't even tell me? I mean, like, a heads up would have been all right. You know, that we could have done more if we were working together here. You know, and so it's just one of those times that, you know, the anointing operates not based on the conductor. It operates where the power comes from. The wires, the telephone wires, the power line wires, it doesn't matter. They are just a conductor. By themselves, they hold no power. It's what they're plugged into. You are a conductor. The Holy Spirit, God Almighty, lives on the inside of you. A power company is living on the inside of you all the time. I'm electric. Dun, 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 dun. All I got to do is slide right on over. Thank you. And let the anointing, the power, flow through me to someone else. Now, question. The wires that are all the same gauges, is any one of them any better than the other? Absolutely not. The power can run through one piece of, let's just say, 16-gauge wire, just as well it could the other 16-gauge wire. It depends on where it's plugged into. Now, this is a problem. Sometimes we read scriptures, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and we try to build it up in ourselves. I've been there. Oh, when I feel the anointing. It's always better. I'm just going to tell you, it's easier when you feel the anointing. It is. It's just easier. And so when you're in these services, now when that person got up, all of a sudden, let's pray for the sick. And they run. Why? All of a sudden, they've been activated. They believe. And so they get up there and then just healings, left, right, and crazy stuff. People getting out of wheelchairs. People being able to talk that couldn't talk. The lame is being healed. It's easy right then. Why? Because you feel something. But that wire works whether it feels like it should or shouldn't. Because it's not about the wire. It's about what is flowing through it. And so a lot of times we want to pray for the sick once we feel it. And I ain't against feeling it. I like feeling it. I create atmospheres to feel it. I praise God in my house. I love feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. But God will heal you whether you feel him or not. God will use you whether you feel like it or not. One of my teachers at Bible college when we were at prayer and healing school, what's his name? Jim Hockaday. Thank you. Jim Hockaday. So Jim Hockaday came out and prayed for people and people got healed. Just boom, 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 left and right. And he said, let me tell you what I did to cause this to happen. And so, of course, all us Bible students are listening very intensely because if it's a formula, we can produce this. And he goes, in the back, when I came in, I ate a tuna fish sandwich. Then I looked in the mirror, make sure nothing was in my teeth. And then I came out here and I prayed for people. And we're just kind of like, what? And he said, I did not fast. I did not pray. He said, all I did was operate on God's word. And if we can get to a place where we acknowledge the greater one that lives on the inside of us, that we are anointed and our shortfalls, our past 5 minutes ago, does not dictate whether or not the power of God flows through us. Whether or not you are a conductor, we have got to acknowledge that God is the great one. God is the one that has anointed us. It is God's word that will perform. Now, this is something I used to tell myself, and people are just different. We're all different. You ain't got to imitate me. You ain't got to think about this like I did. But I remember I would get nervous. Anybody else gets nervous? I would get nervous that I wasn't enough, that I couldn't do it. And I even remember before I would preach, I mean, just almost every service, unless I was just very, very confident in the word, very confident that I did enough to study, that I had enough to give to you, I would get so nervous. And I would look in the mirror, because when I talk to myself, I need to see me. I know y'all ain't like that, but when I talk to myself, I need to look in my eyes and talk to myself. And I said to, I'm here like, the whole God lives on the inside of you. And then I would talk to God and say, now, God, don't punish your people because I'm not enough. Give them something. Give them something. And just, you know, use me. You used a donkey. You can use this. Anybody else talks to yourself like that with the God? But see, the thing is I wasn't confident in the vessel. I wasn't confident in the conductor. And the thing is, we don't put faith in the flesh, but we put faith in what is permanent. And what is permanent is the Spirit. And it is connected to God. Well, you don't know how bad I've messed up. Okay, but if you've asked for forgiveness, you have repented and turned from your ways, you are connected to God. And what happened 10 years ago is not going to stop the healing power of God to flow through you. Aren't you thankful? Oh, some of you on the way here, conversations with your kids and your husband or your wife is not enough to stop you. That thought that entered into your brain before you got to church is not enough to stop the anointing. So stop having more confidence in the evil one, the defeated one, than the anointing that marks your life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Some of y'all better get excited about that. Now, John chapter 15, 17. Let's go to 17. Oof. John 17 and verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Excuse me. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from the evil. And they, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. God sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus is saying, I am sending them into the world. And Jesus wants us to be equipped just like he was. Jesus was anointed and Jesus was equipped to do what God has called him to do. I'm going to tell you something. You are anointed and equipped to do what God has called you to do. Look at your neighbor and say, I am anointed and I am equipped to do what God has called me to do. Now, John 14, turn. And then I got one more, two more, five more, somewhere between there, scriptures, and we'll be done. John 14 and verse 10. I'm trying to set a case of what Jesus has done and what he's calling you to do. John 14 and 10. Believeth thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the work. Now jump to verse 12. He does the work. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Two things I want to point out. One, don't get caught up on the word he. The word he here is mankind. So many times I get so annoyed at people that, hey man, I call everybody man, mankind. We're all, that's even where the word comes from. It annoys me. But anyway, so mankind, God is speaking, when you look it up, mankind. So mankind shall do the works that I do also. So pointing out that every gender fits into this he. And the second thing is, I wanted to point out that God wants you to do the same works that he did. The very same works that he did. Now, continuing in verse 12, and the works that I shall do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Basically, Jesus is saying, I would do greater works than right now, but I'm going to the Father, and I am giving mankind the ability to do the works I did, and they're going to do greater for more than one reason. One, I've died. All of sin eradicated. Righteousness is going to boom, on the face of the earth. And all of a sudden, my purpose for being here is being fulfilled. Mankind shall come back to God. They shall be children of God. And so now will be the form in the day. Time was split. AD, all this, BC. And now all of a sudden we have the church age. If Jesus stayed in the flesh on the earth in the church age, he would be doing, building churches, sending out orphanages. He would be reaching around the world. But what is happening? His people are anointed to do it. Instead of one person going around and doing all this, now we have the whole body of Christ having the ability to do this. So look at your neighbor and say, I have the ability to do the works of Jesus. The same works that he did. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It is. It's amazing. And we should be doing the work of the Father. Let's look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. It says, and the same day, even when the multitude was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. I love this story. And when they had sent away the multitude, let us pass to the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. So not only is Jesus going across, but other people are following him. Other people are following him. So other little ships are going with him. And Jesus, verse 38, it was in the hinder part of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have not a little faith, but no faith? And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, even the wind and the sea obey him. We need to be able to look at storms and say, Peace be still. Can I tell you something? Florida needs a lot of people. Texas, Alabama, all these places that Georgia, well, it's a little inland, but they still get hit. And South Carolina, North Carolina, we need some people with some faith to be able to speak to storms. See, this is what used to happen. Christians used to get into prayer. I think we're getting smarter, thank God. But we used to get into prayer when a storm was coming, and we're like, Lord, please move that storm. Don't let it hit us. And then it wobbles out closer to Texas, and then Texas starts praying. And then it wobbles back over to New Orleans area, and then the New Orleans people start praying. And then it wobbles back toward Florida area, and then the Florida people start praying. And then all of a sudden it comes into land somewhere. All the Christians are doing is just trying to push it out of the way. This is my prayer whenever a hurricane is coming to the United States. Lord, poke its eye out. Lord, destroy this storm. Get rid of this storm. We need Christians to begin to speak over their property. Begin to claim the power of God is on this property. I remember one time when me and my cousins, we were in a boat. My dad had a boat at the time. I loved, boats are amazing. They take a lot of money. That's why I like other people to own them. But I like them. And so we were out and a storm was coming and we were starting to think, are we going to have to go in? We were up the river and it's like, what are we going to do? We were tubing and just having a good time, a good day. And we would stop on a sandbar and eat lunch. And, we had hot dogs and things like that. Or if we caught fish and we'd cook them over an open fire. Awesome. Wonderful. Good times. And so I remember a storm coming and it looked bad. And so I thought, what are we going to do? And I remember someone in the boat that was of another denomination than we were. We'll leave it at that. And they said, well, I thought you bunch of Pentecostal people did what Jesus did. And I'm like, yeah, we do. Well, then why don't y'all speak to the storm? And I'm here like, all right. And I looked at my cousin and said, let's do this. He goes, all right, let's do this. And it's one of those things that we were teenagers, not knowing, you know, kind of like, God could do this. I don't know if he will. Let's try it. I know none of you have been there. Y'all are full of faith. But this time I'm like, I don't even know. And I remember we both pointed our finger and at the same time said, peace be still. That storm split, went all the way around us and back together. And you could see the wall of rain all the way around us. I remember looking at my friend from another denomination. I remember telling them, the power of God works. They had nothing to say. There was nothing they could say. Can I tell you something? The church should get to a place where the anointing is operating in our life that the world has nothing to say. They're going to say something because they hated Jesus. They'll hate us too, right? They'll say something, but they're not going to be able to say anything about the miracles. They're not going to be able to say anything about this stuff. They'll try to make up reasons. They'll try to come up with stuff, but they will not be able to deny that something is in operation. They will not be able to deny that there is something happens when these people speak. Now, I had a Jewish friend. Most of y'all know I have met her in the past. And we were at a Night to Honor Israel in D.C. And I always called her my rabbi because whenever I needed a word translated from the Hebrew into English and I didn't quite understand it, I'd get a hold of her and say, tell me what this word really means. And then she would go into it. And then, you know, she worked for Israel's Department of something, I don't know, but basically tourism, trying to get Christian folks in to spend money in their nation, right? And so she would call me and be like, okay, what, you know, you're my pastor. Tell me what Christians are looking for. Help me build advertising. Help me do my job better. I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I'll help you anytime. And so I would help her. She would help me. And then I remember we were at this Christians United for Israel and her camera was dead and she was so upset. She said, She says, my camera's dead. It won't work. Watch. And she's hitting the button. Won't turn on. As a joke, I said, hand it to me. The life of God on the inside of me will turn the camera on. And she goes, okay. And I'm like, whoa. And she goes, what? She says, I believe that you are a man of God. She says, I've been around you long enough to know that it operates in your life. She said, here's my camera. She put it in my hand. And, you know, because when the power's off, that little lens would go back down in. Just as soon as it touched my hand, it went poop, 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 poop. And I looked at her and said, there you go. And honestly, on the inside, I was freaked out a little bit. God is going to use the church as signs and wonders. And even if the conductor of that power is not perfect, not fully charged like it needs to be, or ready, or just caught off guard, doesn't change the fact that we are connected to a great God that will use the foolish things to confound the wise. They will not, they may mock, they may make fun, but the moment cancer hits their life, the moment a natural disaster hits the area, the moment terrorism attacks a nation, they will run to the church, because it's the church that causes the cameras to come on. It's the church that has prayed for the maimed and their body healed. They may mock you, but when they need you, they will not be able to deny the anointing rest on their lives. We are to be a sign and a wonder. And God said he's coming back for a church stronger than the one he left, more powerful than the one he left. There is a church that is rising up that says, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, heal the sick. Here am I, Lord, I will do what you told me to do. But it is you who enacts the power. I remember telling the Lord before I'd pray for the sick sometime. And now I did this not for God, but I did this for me. It was to remind me that it wasn't me. And I would make a declaration of faith. God, we're going to pray for the sick, and people are going to be healed all in this room. People are going to be healed in this room. And then I'd say to the Lord privately, God, if you don't heal these people, your name's going to be trash in this place. Lord, you're going to have to do something. Because it's your name. I don't do this. You do it. So you need to do something. That had nothing. Do you think God all of a sudden says, oh gosh, Tim's right. I probably should do something. I'm not reminding him of anything he knows. I'm telling myself that this has nothing to do with me. I'm just a conductor. That's all I am. Connected to the power. But the thing is, and I think God will allow us to stay there, but we got to move out of that. And into, this is the way God operates. When I pray for the sick, they recover. Well, what if they don't? Then you keep praying. You move on to somebody else. I prayed 50 times. Well, pray 51. I prayed for 100 people. Pray for 102. And then just keep on doing what God has called you to do. Keep on doing what the Word has told you to do. And as you do so, God will change lives. If we would just step out and be faithful to the anointing, to be faithful to the Word. Jesus said to us, I send my Word. Send my Word to heal them. I send my Word out with them. And they will do the works that I do. My last scripture, and I'm done. Isaiah 55:8. This is to the world. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I'm telling you, the world will not see the thoughts of God or understand them. But the same anointing that was on Jesus is on the inside of us. The same anointing that is on Jesus is on the inside of us. I've told you this story, I think probably the last 3 or 4 Sundays. I have no idea. But when there was a woman that came up in a prayer line in my own church, because no one was listening to me. Everyone was bored. Everybody knew me. Nobody thought I could deliver anything of any kind of message. This is the same kid that, you know, ran in church and tripped people and pulled people's hair and wrote his name in graffiti underneath the pews of the church. So when I preached in my home church, everybody knew me. Everybody remembered everything I did. All the stupid jokes I told, all the ridiculous stuff I did when I broke my leg, jumped off things, you know, just was crazy. That's what they remembered. And so when I preached, they put no value on anything I was saying or doing. And I got to a point where I could see everybody was disconnected. And I said, all right, fine, I'm done. We're going to pray for people and people are going to get healed. Guess how many people came up? Nobody. I said, all right, look, God's going to heal somebody. And finally, some woman out of desperation had a breast cancer, a lump on her chest. And she came up crying. I have a lump. And I panicked on the inside, just freaked out for a second. Like, gosh, can't we start off with something small, like a hurt toe or something? We got to start off right with cancer. All right, Lord, let's do this. And out of just pure just instinct, I mean, just like I didn't know what else to do or say, I just said what I saw someone else do. I remember in healing school, somebody had a lump on their hand, and Jim Hockaday told him, go run water over it, and you'll be healed. And he was healed and came back completely set free. So in a moment, did not hear from God. That was the first thing that came to my brain. Go run water over it and you'll be healed. She looked at me like a cow at a new gate, like a deer in headlights. Not knowing, like, what? Because this is what didn't happen. I did not think of the logistics. Didn't think of what she had to do that. And then all of a sudden, I'm in it deep. So I'm like, well, let's just double down. If I'm going to look like a fool, let's look like a big one. So I looked there and said, did you hear what I said? I said, if you go run water over it, you'll be healed. She still looked at me like I was crazy. Because I was. Absolutely out of my mind. So she told me, she looked at me again. And so I said it again. If you will go run water over it, you'll be healed. I mean, everyone in the church is now paying attention. No one is filling in the circles in the church pamphlet or whatever they give out. No one is playing games. Even the kids are paying attention now. And so finally, I can't remember how many times I told her to do it. Finally, she turns around, walks to the bathroom. One of her friends jumps up and goes with her. And says, anybody else want to be healed? We'll pray for you right now. No one gets up. And so I'm like, okay, we'll just wait. We'll wait until we get the report back. So all of a sudden, after what seemed like an eternity, you start hearing a woman scream. And she comes in. There's two double doors in the back, wood, big double doors, and she throws those things open. And she said, it sunk. It went away. It just went. She said there was a bump, and then all of a sudden it just sunk in. It just sunk in immediately when I poured water on it. It just sunk in. And then her friend, I saw it. Can you imagine a guy going to the bathroom with the other? No, that would be weird. But women, you can get away with this. And so all of a sudden, and she's talking about here, all of a sudden, everyone jumps up, and now they want prayer. My own thought, you know what I thought? None of you are getting healed. I ain't praying for none of you. If you couldn't come up at the first call, I ain't doing it now. God is merciful. God is merciful. We all of a sudden had a great service where there was nothing happening. There was nothing. I want to put this out there for your thought. You can start a revival. You can start a mass healing. You stepping out on what God says you could do can change someone's life forever. You can bring people into the plan of God because you did something. You decided to do something. When you speak the word, God says he will watch over it to perform what it is you're saying out loud. When you speak the word, God watches the word to perform what you're saying. When you tell cancer to leave, God watches over to kick cancer out. When you pray for the sick, God watches over the word, and a seed is planted in them, and a harvest comes to you. You can change the lives of others. You have the ability to walk in the plan of God and show that plan to other people. Now look, some people will take it and run with it. Some people will get it and go as fast as they can go with it. And some people will do exactly what they did to Jesus. He could do no great works except heal people. Heal a few sick folk. I'll tell you something. You may not be able to do no great work because of the people that are around you, but you can still heal a few sick folk. So step out and do something. What if it doesn't happen? It ain't you to begin with. Trust the anointing. Trust God. Be willing to look foolish, because God will take that foolishness and he'll use it to confound the wise. Let's take a moment right where you are. And I want you to ask this question. I say this, it's not every Sunday, but it's most of the Sundays. And I don't want it to become a ritual. I want it to be something we truly do with our whole heart, not some religious thing, not something we do just because we're here, but something we mean. I want you to ask the Lord, in this message, what are you speaking to my heart? Father, what are you trying to show me? What do you want me to see? What are you speaking to me, Father? Let's take that moment right now. I believe God is going to answer many of you right now. I believe God has spoken to many of you right now, but I believe that he'll continue to speak to you throughout the week. Bring stuff up at your workplace. Maybe he'll use something ridiculous like a movie, a commercial, a sign, and he'll just speak to you right through it and say, this is what I was trying to show you. I believe God is going to continue to speak to you and bring his word back to your remembrance and give you opportunities. Let's pray for opportunities to share his word and to step out, pray for the sick.